Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you sent your Son. That you considered all of us worthy for the sacrifice of the perfect Son that you had. A part of you. I mean, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Here's the Son who comes and takes on human form and dies for us. Father, teach us today. Help us, Father God. We need so much of you. I ask, Father God, that you would guide the words today and that you would help this morning, that we would be built up in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There have been many things that I have observed over the past, say 2 or 3 months. And some of them have been very exciting, and there are some things that, kids are great, that are coming, and that's why, you know, I keep talking about the 31st is very important, and so there are some things that I've observed and we've been involved with that are very, very exciting, and I see really good things that God is doing. There are some other things that I have observed as the pastor of New Hope that in some ways kind of bother me. And so some of this morning is I'm going to take this opportunity to vent just a little. And it's not my purpose here to point anybody out or step on any toes. However, there are times when God speaks to us and he not only steps on our toes, but he does surgery deep within our hearts. And I believe there's some places that God wants to take us. And some of it is a return to things that we already know. Several times this summer, I've mentioned that we need to be reminded. So part of what I have this morning is a reminder. If you feel like it is a scolding, there's two things I can do with that. I can apologize. And the other one is, maybe you need it. When I was growing up, there were times, my mother just beat us all the time. My mom listens to these. Love you, Mom. She listens to my messages. So I'll send her that greeting. Even though she denies the beatings, I still wear the damage, the scars. So there was that form of discipline, and very often it was very, very justified for my other four siblings, never for me, but we all had our times, and that's the way it is. When we're growing up, there's disciplines. With my father, my dad, it was very different. He was not the one who usually carried out any kind of corporal punishment. He would set up, he would talk with us, and he'd say, you know, maybe that's not a really good thing to be doing. You know, if you call your mother names, then the belt would come out, you know. And we knew. And there were certain areas where if you crossed the line, you got harshly disciplined by dad. It was sometimes really ugly because if you had him cross that line, it was tough. If you didn't cross that certain line, you know, the line in the sand or whatever you want to call it, he was very even-tempered. Very easy to get along with. Mom, on the other hand, whatever was at hand got applied. You know, broomstick, yardstick, vacuum cleaner hose, whatever. We are God's children. And there are times when God wants us to grow up in certain areas as well. And so sometimes he says things to us and he goes, you know, I think I have a better way. One of the things that I've observed, and it has always kind of bothered me in the body of Christ, is how very often our conversation gets into these areas that maybe we need to soften a little. Because we point the finger at others very readily, and we say things, and sometimes I hear people say things and I kind of scratch my head. I thought we were all part of the body of Christ. None of us are at the same place scripturally. None of us are at the same place theologically. Maybe we have some here this morning that don't even know Christ yet. Maybe we have some here that have been to schools of theology or have been raised that way, you know, with lots of theology, and they've got a real deep basis. We got everything in between. Do we care for one another? There are some theological discussions that are great. I'm going to pick on a really good friend, and I do this on Wednesday nights. If you ever get a chance to talk with Wayne Frame, get ready. Because he is a thinker. He and I do not agree in certain areas. And that was predestined by God. That should give some of you an idea where we discuss. In Christianity, there are certain issues that we need to say, you know what? Let's enjoy the debate. Let's enjoy the discussion. Let's sharpen one another. Let's dig deep and find out what we can do. But let's not divide over these areas. Why New Hope has grown and the things he has done, you know, that's God's business. But what he's done is he's brought a collection of people together that represent backgrounds from almost every denomination and a couple of cults. We have a very diverse group of people in here this morning. We even have some sections that kind of have formed. Like over here we usually have, and then they're there. It's the Presbyterian section. They may have their own elder in that section, but I'm not positive. I'd have to talk with the presbytery about that. We have a family that is working on trying to figure out Catholicism. We've got people who have got strong Pentecostal backgrounds. We've got people who have got no background at all. We've got some people who are coming from Jehovah's Witnesses backgrounds. We've got Methodists. We've got some Baptists. We even have one or two people whose background actually is evangelical free. And you may go, well, that's your background. Well, not really. If you want to dig back far enough, I'm a charismatic. And, you know, six people just got up and left, you know. That's where my background is. And God took me through a process of completely undoing my theology and redoing my theology to be where I'm at. Now, it isn't that I'm going to go, you charismatics, you're going to hell. I can't do that. I've got one of the men that's responsible for that God used to bring me into the body of Christ in the first place is charismatic. Am I going to deny his salvation? There isn't any way that's happening. My older brother is involved in that movement. Am I going to deny his faith? Not ever. It's real. So what I'm getting at is there are things that we need to be able to go, you know what, I'm not sure I'm right where you're at with whatever the doctrine is or whatever the thing is, but on the core beliefs, the core understandings of what is Christianity, we will stand arm in arm and protect one another and defend one another to the death. That's why we need to pray for these people that are suffering in Iraq and in China, Southeast Asia, and parts of Africa. Because on the good things, the things that we have no debate on, the deity of Jesus Christ, the authority of God's Word, The virgin birth, the Trinity, those things that we call the core beliefs of Christianity, we don't differ on. That's where we fellowship. That's where we say there's nothing that can separate us from God's love because this is what we believe. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you understand that Jesus died for you, was buried, that He rose from the dead, and He ascended into heaven, and He's there now interceding for us. We agree on that. They even agree on that in the Presbyterian section. When Wayne and I discuss some theological things and quantum physics, which is really a challenge for me, we may not agree about some of that. But when it comes to the core of why we call ourselves believers, he and I are going to stand together. Inseparable. And I believe that the body of Christ needs to be occupied more with that and less with the things that divide. In my experience, when I got saved, I got involved with a church. It was one of the biggest churches in Longmont. They had a TV ministry and a magazine ministry, and it was, you know, three services on Sundays. It was huge. And I watched it implode. In less than 6 months after the initial problem arose, there was not a single part of that church that still existed. It disintegrated. The next big important church in my life, a decision was made, and because of the quality of the decision or what it was, you know, you can debate all that all you want to, but what happened was the group polarized into two different groups and that church disintegrated. And there's still people today that Emily and I know from both groups. I happened to be in a group that was kind of caught in between. It was a group of musicians. There are groups, there are people from both of those polarized groups that to this day, nearly 30 years later, don't speak to one another. That does not please God. That is not what God wants. God wants the body of Christ to function as His body, with Jesus Christ at the head. Are there areas where we may differ? Yes. But in the core, we need to be His body. Look at verse 12. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. It's very clear. He's not just talking about new hope in that verse. He's not just talking about the Presbyterian section or the Methodist section. He isn't just talking about one small group. He's talking about the body of Christ. Who does that make up? The brothers and sisters in Mozambique? There's a few there, huh? How about Central Africa? How about India, where I traveled to? How about Asia? How about China? Are they a part of verse 12? They are. Are we going to see eye to eye on all of the details? Only in the core. Only in the core. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink from one Spirit. This is a very important verse for us to understand, because the baptism here has nothing to do with water, has nothing to do with the spiritual gifts. Baptism in that verse has to do with what you're baptized into, and it says very clearly what you're baptized into. Let's take the baptism word out and replace it with another synonym. For by one Spirit we were all immersed into one body. Think about it in that term. In that way, you will you can get a deeper understanding that you're not, God hasn't placed you into some weird thing. He's placed you into something very definite. When you were saved, you have been immersed into the body of Christ. You become a part of this greater thing called the body of Christ. That includes all of our brothers and sisters all around the world that have very different customs. Trust me, I've been some places where the customs are really different. There's places where I've gone where I've had to put cotton, secretively put cotton in my ears because of the music. I have preached in the same church every time I've been in India. Solid concrete floor, solid concrete or block concrete block walls, and a tin roof. Okay? And somehow, in a space smaller than this section over here, where the Presbyterians are, they cram 120 people into that space. And then there's all these, it's usually the men that are hanging around on the outside and looking in through the windows or just standing around the outside. And then they have these bull horns. And the horn of the speaker is about this big, okay? And you don't want to be in the direct line of those speakers. Because they only have one setting on their amplifier. All the way. And I go in here, and they start singing. And my friend Sam Rant goes, oh, this is one of their favorite songs. Now, he says it in a different, I'm translating, because he speaks with a very definite accent. They sing this song. And he goes, this is their favorite song. And it just erupts. And the guys we know, so secretively, Fred and I, family friend, have stuck cotton in our ears. Because it gets so loud in that building that it hurts. We understand our music. We have a certain understanding of chords and tones and pitches. They don't. It's Eastern. Tone? Pitch? Whatever goes. And they're happy with that. It doesn't resolve. You notice how any of the musicians out there going, yeah, it's got to resolve. You know, you got to resolve. Get back to that chord that works. And we love harmony. You got all those chords in there. You know what? Here's one of my scoldings. It's wearing on me that people that come to New Hope are more concerned about style than heart. When God calls us together to corporately worship, we can't be distracted by style. It's not style that God's looking for. He's looking for heart. We have been placed, we have been immersed into the body of Christ. There is no one, I would venture to guess that there is a few people that we could gather together in small groups and we could say we all agree in this style of music or this style of whatever. And there would be other groups that would look at us and go, you want to do what? You know, I'm not a fan of country western music. Who in here likes country western? We will pray for you. That's part of my point. It's not something I care for. I came in here the other day, I was working on the sound system, and I had Mozart going, and I cranked old Moat up, and it was awesome. You get the speakers going. And some of you would come in and go, yeah! That's style, is it not? Do you love your brothers and sisters? let's go on in chapter 12, because the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. Are you a part of the body of Christ? What's your part? Whatever that part would be that the Holy Spirit would direct you into, that's your part. Go with it. Be there. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, there are many members, but one body. And he goes on and he goes through and he uses the same metaphor of the human body. We desperately need one another. As the men come, as we prepare for communion, I want us to remember some things about who we are and where we came from. Each one of us has a story to tell about how we came to Christ. Paul gives us another clear help in this area of being a part of the body of Christ and serving one another and honoring one another. And it's in Philippians chapter 2. And as I go through this, gentlemen, would you come forward to serve? Paul writes this, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth." That's the attitude of Christ. Now, just before that, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is encouraging the Philippians, and he says there, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, the one who came and gave himself up for us, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, being of the same mind." That does not mean agreeing on every detail. Agreeing on what then? "Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing grasped, but emptied himself." It's about Christ. "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." For us to be in the body of Christ, as Paul has told us, we need to look out for others and lift one another up and edify the body of Christ, build one another up. And sometimes that means we may have to agree to disagree. Maybe that means we may need to go, "You know what? I'm going to work with you and I'm going to learn from you. And there's some areas that we're going to differ in. But I love you because you belong to Christ." Let's prepare for communion by taking a moment and asking God to forgive us for those times when we have criticized, when we should have encouraged, when we have been divisive, when we should have been working towards unity. Father, we come to you. Forgive us for those times when we have been judgmental and legalistic. Give us a compassion for the body of Christ. Transform our hearts into people that would be more and more like your Son, who was willing to give up his position in heaven and take on the humility of humanity for us. See in us, Father God, hearts that want more of you than anything else that this life can give. Thank you for your Son. In his name.